But we started this series, it's called Don't Feed the Animals. And the reason about it is because, this is a philosophy kind of that we have, is that whatever you feed grows and whatever you starve dies. And we just believe, and if we want good things to happen and miracles to happen, and what's amazing is miracles are happening every day. And we have a friend down in K-State University, Kansas State University, who God gave him a vision to start a church plant. His name is Troy, and we showed his video, and his church plant happens today. Isn't that amazing? And then a few months ago, we had a guy named Palmer come in here and share about Summit Creek Church in Des Moines, Iowa, and his church starts today. Isn't that amazing? So let's just take a moment just to pray for these church plants. Is that okay? Just pray for God to make an amazing morning. We just pray. We lift them up to you. And we thank you, Lord, that, Lord, not just here, but everywhere in there, you're doing miracles. And today is a birth of something fresh and new in those communities. Lord, we pray for miracles. We pray for what you're going to do, just like you're doing in Stillwater, but you're doing that in Des Moines, and you're doing that in Kansas. And we just pray in Jesus' name, be with those churches, calm their nerves, and Lord, I would just pray for the people that be there that need to hear the gospel in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we just believe in the whole thing about don't feed the animals. And one of the things I just talked to one of my friends this morning about this and this weekend was I think as Christians, we need to fill in the gap between what we believe and what we walk out. Everybody with me on this? We need to fill in that gap between we may believe this, we may believe it over here, but are we really walking out what we believe? It's one thing to say, I trust the Lord. It's another thing to say, I live in fear. It's easy to say something token to somebody else that's going through something, saying, I'm going through a rough time. You're saying, just pray and seek the Lord. But when it comes to us, we know what to say. The question is, are we walking out what we know? Isn't that interesting? And so hopefully the series does is it fills in that gap a little bit between what we believe and what we know. And that's my prayer. And it says don't feed the animals because, and I like this, it says, here's the wolf illustration. There's a picture on the screen about wolves. And it says, one evening, an old man told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside of people. He said, my son, the battle is between two wolves inside us all. One is evil. It is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, lies, false pride, and ego. The other is good. Joy, peace, hope, humility, kindness, faith, compassion, generosity. And the grandson looked at the guy and his father and his grandfather and said, which wolf wins? And the grandfather simply said, the one you feed. And interesting, the one you feed. So what you feed grows, and what you starve dies. Another way I put it is this, whatever in your life that you are giving the most attention to is what's growing in your life. Good or bad, what we focus on is what we develop. Let me say that again. What you focus on is what you develop. So today is don't feed the fears. And we all have them. We all have this fear. Now, listen, I've had just this thought for the last few weeks. There's been these books out, like the Blood Moon books, and there's all these things about, you know what I'm saying, the year of Jubilee. Listen, I believe in Scripture, and I believe in all these things. Some people ask me, do you believe in the Lord's coming? Can I just put it to you very simply? Here's how it works. When I got married, what happens is when you get married is a bunch of people come up to you, including my dad, which I like it from my dad, but a lot of people come up to you and just tell you, not warnings, but a lot of advice. See, they grab you on the shoulder and they said, hey, boy, we got to tell you something about being married. You know? Any other guys experienced this before? And it's kind of like warnings. Make sure you do this, and make sure you do this, and make sure you serve your wife, and make sure you do this. Make sure you're ready for this, and make sure, and you're like, dude, I'm getting married. I'm excited, but make sure you prepare for this. And what it does is it's fine, and I think this is what happens in life. Do you understand when Jesus comes back in Scripture, it talks about that the groom is coming back for the bride. Isn't this awesome? And it says that when we get to heaven, that there's going to be a feast, and it's called the Supper of the Lambs, which is a feast for the believers to be. It's like a reception feast to welcome everybody in to have this feast. And so what it is these warning signs. Here's my I'm going to tell you about fear. All that to say is this, when we hear of things happening in the earth, it shouldn't bring fear, but what it should bring is preparation and excitement. Does this make sense? Because it realizes that God is in control. And I tell people all the time, like, if you read these warnings, and if you read these things, and what it brings is bring fear, and you have doubt, then stop reading it and start trusting. Now, here's the other side note. If you are not watching the news, and you're just being ignorant, and I don't need to watch the news, I know what's going on, all it does is scare me, I don't want to watch the news, that's fine. But here's my next question. If you don't know what's going on, then how do you know what to pray for? You know, God has given us, and God is saying to us, listen, he is saying, part of the reason why we are going down a slippery slope in America today is because the church hasn't been the church. You guys agree with this? And God is calling for the church to rise up. And if we're coming to a certain time in history, God has called us to rise up, to lead the charge, to be the church he's called us to be. Is this amen? And he's still on the throne. We serve a kingdom and not a democracy. He's still God and he's still on the throne. And so today is not about fear. Today is we celebrate God because he's still there. And so I think one of the things is this. It says in Philippians 4:6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And he says, don't live in the fear. Proverbs 1:7 then, but says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, is anybody else confused? Because in Scripture it says, don't fear, but then on the other side it says, fear the Lord. Has this ever confused anybody? Or am I the only one here? Like, you're saying, don't fear, but fear me. And so I just want to pick this apart a little bit in Scripture and just kind of dive into this. So here's what it is. What does the word fear mean in Scripture? And so if you're taking notes, try to follow. This is going to be a little confusing, but just like the word love, love has different meanings in Greek. For us, when I say I love my wife because she's amazing, she's beautiful, and she's just amazing, I can say I love my wife, but I can also say I love olives and ice cream and everything. So it's like, what does that mean? Like, there's not a different kind of love in our vocabulary. But it's kind of the same thing in Greek. There's four kinds of love. But now, it's the same thing with the word fear. Fear carries a different kind of weight through Scripture, and it's hard for us to grasp it. So the first kind of fear is this. I'm going to talk about is this. Is the word phobos. Everybody, on the count of three, say phobos. One, two, three. Phobos. Come on. You guys are more awake than this. Ready? One, two, three. There it is. Which is kind of this fear of, and here's what I like about it. It means to be in reverence or to stand in awe. This is cool, right? It means to stand in awe. So if I just tell you some stats right now, and here's some interesting thing about it. A few years ago, the Hubble telescope focused on an area near the handle of the Big Dipper, focused on an area, and found, listen to this, 1,500 galaxies. Think about this. As the Earth orbits the sun, it departs from a straight line by only 1/9 of an inch every 18 miles. If it was 1/10 of an inch off, we would either freeze or be incinerated. Think about that. The moon is 240,000 miles from the Earth. Move it 1/5 closer, and we would have 35 to 50-foot tidal waves all over this Earth. The Earth is rotating on an axis of 1,000 miles an hour at the equator. Listen to this, 1,000 miles per hour, and moving around the sun at 70,000 miles per hour. While the sun in its solar system is moving around space at 600,000 miles per hour. And this is this. The orbit's so large, it would take more than 220 million years to complete the orbit. And this is all happening while I'm speaking this morning. So if some people ask you, what'd you do today? You just say, dude, I just traveled 700,000 miles. You know what I'm saying? And this all happens because the reason I say this is because this is all not an accident. It's not an accident. We serve a God who created. We serve a God who created this. And so to say what is fear means first is to say to stand in awe and wonder of creation. For instance, the sun in the sky. Think about this. I tell people like this. The sun in the sky, some people are actually afraid of the sun, but most of us, when you wake up in the morning, the only time you think of the sun is, I hope it's going to be warm, hope it's going to melt. Maybe sooner it's going to say, hope it's melting the snow, you know? And so instantly in our heads, we keep on thinking about the things of the sun. But look, if you stare at the sun too long, you will burn out your eyes. If you stay in the sun too long, you will burn your skin. But at the same time, the sun brings warmth and it brings light. But at the same time, you have a respect and a reverence for it because of how big it is. And when I look at this, God is first saying, he says, fear the Lord. And what he's saying is, when he says to me, fear the Lord, he's not saying, be scared of me, really. What he's saying is, to stand in awe and amazement of who I am, because I'm bigger than you think I am. Isn't that crazy? We actually get the word awesome from the word awe, to stand in an awesome. So the first fear is this, to stand in awe and amazement. Hebrews 12:29 says this, let us offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. My kids tell me this all the time. My daughter is the cutest. Because all of a sudden I'll be, and my son too. My son always asks me, he always with his friends at school wants to know who's the fastest. He's always saying, you know, who's the fastest? And I'm like, I don't know. Every day I said, how's school? You know what he responds by saying? Dad, I was the fastest in gym today. I'm like, that's awesome. Like, he just runs around. Like, that's cool. But when I lift something up, the other day I was lifting some boxes, and my daughter goes, Daddy, you're the strongest. And I'm like, yeah, I am. Look at, well, yeah, I am. Look at these muscles. And to them, because I'm bigger than them, they are in awe because I can lift something that they can't lift. And even when I can lift them up, they can't lift each other up. But when I lift them up, they think I'm just, because I'm bigger, they have nothing else to measure it by because it's so crazy. And Ecclesiastes, it says this, 12:13 says, now all have been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. To respect, to stand in awe and reverence, because I don't want to go this way or this way. Deuteronomy 13:4 says, serve the Lord your God and fear him alone. Don't fear man, don't fear anything else. Only have that fear for the Lord. Here's what's interesting about it. And this is later in my notes, and I'm going to say it early because I think this is really powerful. The worship team is going to agree with me, Dan and Brianna. What you fear is what you worship. Let me say it again. What you fear is what you worship, because what you fear is what consumes you. Our fear consumes us. And when we think about this, I'd rather stand in awe of the Lord and worship him. You know what worship is? Is worshiping is standing in awe of who God is and lifting him up, because he's greater than anything. He's greater than the galaxy. He's great. He's the creator of these things. And we stand in awe of who God is. So that's fear that way. Here's a fear the other way. The other Greek word is this, is a word called dilia. Dilia is a fear which means to be scared, which means to be like this coward, to be timid, to panic. In the 2 Timothy, this word comes up, and it says this, in 1:7 says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, which is this dilia fear, which is a scared fear, but he says this, but of power and of love. And last week I talked about the fruits of the Spirit, because we're kind of coinciding, because love is pretty much, and fear are kind of opposites of each other. Because it's hard to live in love when you live in fear. I cannot make my kids, because of fear, fall in love with me. I love my kids. I pour into my kids. And in turn, they love me because they realize how much I love them. It's not because I drop the hammer on their life. I do that because I want to train them. But I'm not, God doesn't control your feelings. God doesn't say to you, love me. It's not based out of love. I mean, fear, it's based out of love. God is inviting us to come in. And what this verse is saying, he says, God is saying, you don't live out of fear, but live out of love. not, some of us have so many fears. Even to this day, it's hard for me to walk through the woods by myself. I watch these TV shows like Alone. My wife and I got in this TV show Alone where the guys go into the woods and they have to camp by themselves, and this guy ended up camping by themselves. Anyone else watch the show? For like, yeah. I'm like, and there's bears and there's cougars, and all I had was a tent, and they make their own stuff, and I'm like, I would last like 4 hours. And I would call somebody. I'm not built that way. I'm more of a hotel kind of guy. And it's amazing to me that here I am the man, and I just feel more comfortable when my wife is close. I mean, we can walk through the woods, I mean, together, but by myself, like, it's not healthy. Like, I am one of those guys that if I'm walking through the woods, I'm always nervous behind me, so I walk faster. Anybody else walk faster in the dark? Am I the only one here that walks faster in the dark? I'm just trying to always. And so some of us live with fear of, in your life, you think of monsters underneath your bed. You think of shadows becoming bigger. You're scared of clowns. Like, there's so many spiders. I mean, how many people in here are scared of spiders? Like, as soon as you see a spider, you're gone. Like, you are. I watched a video last night of a girl who just jumped out of a car because there was a spider in it. I mean, it's weird. And so there's so many scary things because, but God has said to us, I haven't given you a spirit to do this, but a spirit of love. So I'm going to go into just really fast here is, what does this fear, this Delia fear, do to us? And here's what it does. And I'm going to go through this really fast, so just follow along. I got like a few numbers here, and I just want you to understand this. What does this fear cause in us? Number one, fear causes us to reduce the size of God, to make him smaller and no longer in awe, and elevate the size of others' opinions and problems in our life. Fear makes the shadows bigger than they really are. Because when you go in the dark and you start thinking about the darkness in your life and in your room, what you think is actually a monster is some kind of blanket. Or what you think is this, because it makes it bigger. The shadows in our life are not even bad, but we make them bigger because we dethrone the Lord and we lift up our problems. That is how we go from what you fear is what you worship, because you're no longer putting God on the throne. No longer is a fear of awe. Number two is this. Fear causes us to lead people in the wrong direction. People say, what does that mean? When the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, and they were once slaves and were coming out of Egypt, they kept on saying stuff like, where's our food? Where's our water? And they kept on telling Moses all the time, saying, I don't, because of the fear of the unknown, you keep on telling us that there's a promised land. We haven't seen it yet. All we know is that we're hungry and we're thirsty, and at least we had food back when we were slaves. And they started saying, I'd rather be a slave over there, at least I know I had a bed and food, than go with you to the promised land. So most of those people never ended up there because of fear, because fear of the unknown, because of fear of stepping out. And if they only trusted what the Lord said, they would have not just talked about the promised land, they would have lived in the promised land. And I believe a lot of people in our life are not living in the promises that God has for them because they're afraid of taking that next step of the unknown, and they have the slavery in their heart they can't get rid of, which keeps them away from the promises of the Lord. Is this making sense? As a church, I don't want us to be so afraid about moving forward that we can't leave the things behind. Because here's the promise. What God has for your future is always better than what you leave behind. God has better, and God has better things for you ahead. So that was number two. Number three is this. Fear causes us to stay quiet when we should speak up. And this is to the church. This is to the families. This is to people. We need godly men and husbands and wives in our church to speak up, to defend the family, to speak for what is right, to protect, to defend, and to stand up. Is this? Do I hear amen, right? And because we in our lives are afraid to think what others are going to think of us, we cower back and we're afraid to step out because we're unsure ourselves. And God says, don't walk in being timid, but don't walk in fear. Next one is this. Number four, fear causes us to see the easy road instead of the narrow road. And what I'm saying is, so many times we want to take the easy approach to things in life because we know the outcome. My dad, where's my dad at? Around here somewhere. There he is. My dad has always said something to me. When there's always a situation in my life, I got to make a decision. This is one of the things he always said. I said, what about this and what about this? He usually says, whatever is the hard way is usually the best way. Right? If it's easy, it's probably not the best way to go around it. Because usually the hardest things in our lives are the narrow roads that God wants us to walk through. And sometimes that's an uphill battle. And sometimes we just say, Lord, I'm just tired. I just want to relax. I'm just really tired. And God says, listen, you can rest, but at the same time, don't pick the easy road. Number five is this. Number five causes us to speak to certain people, not to speak to certain people because of fear. We don't speak to the broken, the hurting, the misfits, and the neglected. You know why? Because we feel like if we connect with them and they're dirty, then they're going to make us dirty. You know why I love Watermark? Because at some point we all feel like we're a bunch of misfits. Am I not true? Is this true? Like, because I'm telling you, a church that knows that grace abounds is a church that wants to give grace out. Listen, what we all have in common in this room and what everybody has in common in your neighborhood and what everybody has in common in the city of Stillwater is this. We all need a savior because we all can't do it ourselves. Is this true? Your neighbor needs a savior, but so do you. You know what reaches people? It's not telling people that they need Jesus. It's telling people that you need Jesus. Does that make sense? And so we reach these people and we connect because we need a savior ourselves. This number six fear is this. It causes us to refuse to embrace change. A lot of people are afraid of change and we get comfortable where we're at and we don't want to change it. Number seven is this. Fear causes paralysis. Oof. Because I've told us a few times, if you're on the edge of a cliff, some of our students went down to El Salvador and they went cliff jumping off this cliff. The longer you stand there, the harder it is to jump off. Is this not true? The longer you think about it, the less likely you are to do it because you're so afraid to take that jump. One of the things I've been saying for years what's interesting is this, when you overthink about it, it causes us not to do anything. So over-analysis leads to spiritual paralysis. Let me repeat that. Over-analysis leads to spiritual paralysis because we get so cautious of taking that step that we never take it, and we want more and more confirmation, but God is asking us to step out, but we have so many questions, and if we just step out, we can step out more. And number eight is this. It says, fear causes us to try to control things. Anybody have issues with trying to control things around you? Is it just me? Oh, okay, I'm the only one, so a few of us. We have issues of control because we want to control. The problem is when we want to control things, we take control out of somebody else's hands. And we want things to work out the way we want to work it, but sometimes God just says, I want things to work out the way I want to work it out. And so for perfectionists and different people that want things to work out their way, it takes matters in our own hands. Fear does this. Fear causes us to conceal our sin. If you don't agree with me, think about this. The first people on earth, Adam and Eve, God told them, don't eat of this tree. And it says in Scripture that God literally walked in the garden with them. That's amazing. God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, walked in this garden, and it says, the only rule I have for you, and some people say all the time, well, God is a God of rules. I'm telling you, he created this earth with one rule. Don't eat of this tree. You can eat of all the other trees. Don't eat of this one. And they ate of it anyway. They were tempted and ate. And what was it they did? Also, the first thing they did was they went and hid. And they hid, and they hid in the bushes. And this is my favorite part. I think this is irony. And then God starts walking through the garden, and he says this, where are you? Dude, I'm telling you, he is the worst person to play hide-and-go-seek with, the Lord. Like, he's not saying this because he doesn't know. He knows exactly where they're at. The reason he's saying this is because he's waiting for their response because he wants them to say, here I am, because he wants them to come out of hiding. Because it says in Scripture, here's what it says. It says this. It says in Genesis 3:10, it says, Adam answered, and it says, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid. I had fear because I was naked, so I hid. So the first sin in Scripture led to fear. When we are in sin, and when people make mistakes, isn't it crazy that the first time you make a mistake and you sin and you know you messed up, the last thing you want to do is to show your colors. The last thing you want to do is pray. The last thing you want to do is go read the Bible. But that's the first thing we should do. Isn't it interesting? This is how sin and the devil works, is to make you feel so guilty and shame that you can't go, that it puts you in hiding. And there's too many people in churches are in hiding because they don't want to come out of hiding because they're afraid to see the Lord because of the sin in their life. Fear separates us because the sin separates us from who God is. Fear began with sin, and fear started dominating the decisions. And here's what I love. You know one of the greatest commands in Scripture is? Anybody know what the greatest command in Scripture is? Of course, there's a great commandment. And then there's a command to make disciples. But do you know what command, not saying it's the most important, but was said over and over again the most times? Anybody know the most commanded Scripture? It's two words, fear not. Over 100 times in Scripture. Now, the word fear is mentioned like 378 times in Scripture, with between fear the Lord and everything. But the word together, fear not, is mentioned, I think, 120 sometimes. And, God is saying over again, fear not, don't be afraid, fear not, don't do this, fear not, because I am with you, fear not, don't, you know what I'm saying? Don't be afraid. The word fear not. Because if you said, he says, if you fear me, you shouldn't have to fear anything else. He says, if you know who I am, he says, then you know who they're not. He says, if you know who I am, then you know what your problems are not. And so many times we get overwhelmed by the situations and the problems because a man who is in awe and wonder of the Lord is a man who's not intimidated by man. A person who stands in reverence and spends time with the Lord and finds himself with the Lord knows who he is in the Lord. So what love does, and how do you beat fear? How do you kick it? How do you get it out of the way? You combat it with love. When Adam and Eve came out, you combat it with love. It says in Scripture this, and I think this is one of the most powerful things in Scripture. It says, 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Either you kick fear out of your heart, or it will keep you out of the places that God has prepared for you. It's like this. If Corin was in school, and a bully was picking on you. Let's just say you're in fifth grade and a bully was picking on you. This would never happen to you because you have knives and swords and nunchucks and stuff, but, right? And a bully came to you and said, give me your lunch money. And out of fear, every day, you give him lunch money without question. Chances are, if you keep on doing it, the bully's going to keep on coming. Is this not true? Because of fear, we keep on handing our stuff over. When God says, don't give the devil the keys to heaven and hell, we keep on handing our stuff over, and the fear comes in, and we keep on letting control happen in our lives, and we keep on letting this happen, and because of that, we're allowing this to happen more and more and more, it keeps on controlling and consuming us more and more and more. And what it is God is saying, we don't get stronger in faith by avoiding our fears. We get stronger in our faith by stepping out in love and knowing who God is in us. 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love. For Christ, and it goes on to say later in the Bible, it says, for Christ's love compels us. I'm going to close with this scripture verse. And I think, honestly, if you have your Bibles, open up to Mark 4. And sometimes I read scripture and I laugh because I find the irony in it and I've never read it before. And in Mark 4, we're going to close with this verse. And it says this. It says that it's called Jesus Calms the Storm. And it says, evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. As they're in a boat with Jesus, A furious storm or squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat. There's waves coming over top of the boat. This is crazy. And it says the waves broke over the boat so that they were nearly swamped and they were nearly drowned. And this says this, Jesus was in the stern of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said, Teacher, don't you care that we're about ready to drown? Can I just paint this picture? These are fishing guys who know about boats, and they know about stuff about boats, and they literally are in a boat with the Lord, and they're just getting, they're like, they know the storm's coming. And one guy goes to another guy and says, guys, we are about ready to drown. We got to let Jesus know that something's about ready to happen. Who wants to go wake him up? Raise your hand. I mean, I'm not going to draw the short straw on that deal. I'm like, when you wake me up from a nap, my wife would tell you, I am not good at being woken up from a nap. Like, I go crazy. I don't know why. I get scared. And I jump. And so to be that guy that wakes up Jesus, so they came and woke up Jesus, and then it says this, he got up, rebuked the wind. He got mad at the wind. He rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, quiet, be still. What the waves symbolize in your life is this, problems, situations that you go through, that we all face storms in our life, right? We all face storms, and they are our fears. The storms, what the disciples were going on, it was, these were the fears. They were in the boat, in the storm. Lightning was coming. We're going to die. It was the fear in their life. And so Jesus looks the fear right in the face. This is awesome. Jesus looks the fear right in the face, looks at the problem right in the face, and he says, quiet, be still. It's like looking at your dog saying, down. Psh. That's all he does. He looks at the problems, looks at the storm, he says, quiet, be still. Peace be with you, storm. And here's an amazing thing. The storm completely dies down. It obeys the Lord. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. In another scripture, I'm going to say this. The peace that passes all understanding came. They went from a storm to a calm day. And then he said to the disciples in red print, why are you so afraid? Why do you live in fear? Why are you so afraid? He says, do you still have no faith? He's pretty much saying, don't you know who I am? Because if they knew scripture, and I really believe, if they at this point, I think they were still questioning if he was the Messiah or not. Even though they saw miracles, this is why Jesus said, don't you believe? Don't you have faith? Because one of the things we want to do is connect what we know to what we walk, right? The same problem that we have with saying, I believe this, I'm just not walking this out, is the same problem the disciples had. It's saying, don't you have faith? Don't you believe that your storms? Because he's pretty much saying, I am the Lord, and this is not how the boat goes down. As long as I'm with you, we're not going to sink. This is not how it ends. He's pretty much saying, let me sleep. I was resting. He says this, and then he said, so do you still have no faith? Verse 41 is my favorite, and this just came to me a few weeks ago, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. I've always just kind of skipped over this. They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Wow. The reason that's crazy is this. It says Jesus rebuked them because they were afraid of the waves and the storm. After the storm calmed down, they were terrified and asked each other, who is this guy? You know what that means? They went from being scared because of the waves too terrified of who the Lord is. Think about that. They were once scared of the problems in their life. When the problems arose, they were scared of this. And all of a sudden, one day, they just realized, because they were scared of the storms and the problems and the waves, and all of a sudden, they realized that the guy that was in their boat was a man who controlled the storms and the waters and the waves. The guy that was in the boat was a guy that says, listen, even these waves obey me. Even this thing, listen, even the storms that you face in your life, they bow down to me because I am on the throne and I am in charge. And you don't need to bow down to them because they bow down to me. And all thing you need to bow down to is me. That's it. If you only get it that you lack faith in your faith, not because of the storms, because of the fact is you don't need to live in fear, but live in hope because you stand before a man who says, I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to deliver you. I am with you. Isn't that awesome? And he said, it's not because he is terrified of saying, I'm scared of the Lord. It's because they realize that their storm is nothing compared to who God is in their life. And so many of us right now sit in situations and we say, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how my family's going to get healed. I don't know how my marriage is going to get healed. I don't know how I'm going to get out of all this debt. I don't know how my heart's going to be changed. I don't know how I can get out of this addiction. I'm stuck in pornography. I am just stuck. And I'm just stuck. I feel alone. I'm desperate. I'm afraid. I live in fear. And God says, they bow down to me. You focus on me. You focus on me. I wasn't going to share this. I have pictures in my head a lot. Not a lot, but every once in a while. And I was at this retreat this past weekend, and I was praying for this student, and this picture that I had 20 years ago came back to me. And I don't remember it until yesterday. I was going through a tough time in my life, and I remember I saw myself on this little lake, and I was fishing. I'm not even a fishing guy. I'm just fishing. And I felt like just really alone. I just felt like I was in this boat by myself, just kind of alone, just thinking. And all of a sudden, I just felt this hand on my back. And I looked around, and I felt this calmness, and it was Jesus in the boat with me. And all he said was, remember, I'm always in the boat with you. You're not alone. That was it. Dude, as long as you're in a boat with Jesus, it doesn't matter if you think he's missing or sleeping or anything, he is there right with you. Everybody stand up. I believe this is crucial for this time. Because with the Fall Fest coming up, with people, listen, I believe, I'm just going to share one thing I shared with our students this past week. I shared a bunch of senior hires this week. Ben was there and I shared. And there was the girls on this side and guys on this side. And this is what I told the girls. I said, girls, stop living in fear. I said, oh, I just almost said my Bible. I said, I'm a past youth pastor. I'm a pastor. I said, you're in high school. College students, women, everybody fears us, saying, you look on Facebook and you look at all these images and you look at all these things saying, well, I don't match up to somebody else. This person's doing it better, and their house is so clean and everything else. And you say things like, I'm just ugly, and I'm alone, and you just live in this fear, and just live in this doubt, and you live in this shame. And here's what's happening. And then the opinions start coming in, and you're saying, well, my friends are better than I am. They're better at sports. They're better at doing this. And all of a sudden, God, you do the same thing. We're competitive in nature. We want the better and bigger stuff. We want to go faster and harder and larger and everything. You know what I'm saying? They have a toy, we want a bigger one. And this is what happens is we are afraid because we're going to lose our status. And we start doing things that God never intended us to do because of fear. And what God is saying, listen, until you find your identity in me, you'll never figure out who you really are. Until you truly surrender, you're going to be looking for yourself forever. Because perfect love casts out all fear. And I'm not saying it's not going to come back. Listen, the devil works hard on you. He comes, and he comes, and he comes, and he makes you question, and he makes you doubt, and he comes at you, and he says, what if? And this is what we talked about last week. Too many Christians live in worst-case scenarios. Well, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this? What if my family doesn't come to the Lord? And what if bad things do happen? What if this happens? What if we switch our mentality from what if negative to what if positive? What if you invite your neighbor to church and they do find the Lord? What if you truly surrender to the Lord and you laid it down and you just trusted the Lord with your family and with your life? What would happen? Think about that. What if? You guys with me this morning? Is this making sense? Because I really believe in our hearts, if what you fear is what you worship. And if you fear others, people's opinions, then you are worshiping what people say over what God says about you. And this is ongoing. Everybody just bow your heads, close your eyes. If you're here this morning, and in your heart, you need to confess, you need to surrender your heart to the Lord. And this morning, you want to say, I want to make a commitment to the Lord. I want to truly surrender my heart. I want to give the Lord my heart and surrender. If that's you, no one's looking around, you just raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You're just saying this morning, I just want to commit my heart. I just want to, I need the Lord in my life. I need to commit this to the Lord. See it. See it. See it. See it. It's awesome. Everybody repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I commit my life to you. I surrender to you. Forgive me my sins. Come into my life. Thank you for your grace and your love. I give my heart to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer, I would love to connect with you. It's about a walk. Next one is this. Keep your heads bowed for a second. Let's just be honest in this room. If you're sitting here and you hear the words fear not and fear, but you live your life in a lot of fear of decisions that happen in your life. No one's looking around, but if you live in fear right now and you need God to deal with you with the fear in your life, I want you to raise your hand. Let's just step this out. Step this out. A lot of us live in fear. A lot of us live in fear. Put your hands down. Look up here. The only way to get past fear is love. Recognize his love and his love for you. Perfect love casts out all fear. This is why we're going to get into worship. We fear, we worship because we stand in awe and wonder who the Lord is, and we bow down, not to a storm, but we bow down to a Lord. So here's my encouragement for you. If you raise your hand and you say, Lord, is needing me to deal with fear, I just want you to press in this morning. Everybody, I want everybody to press in. But maybe you just got to kneel down this morning and just surrender to the Lord and just say, I don't want to lead by fear anymore. I don't want to worship fear anymore. I don't want to worship this anymore. And maybe you want to come down and write on a cross. Maybe you want to take some communion back there. Maybe you just want to come down and pray. But whatever it is, I just believe it's a time for us. Let's just worship this morning before. There's no rush this morning. If you just feel like you want to worship for a while, Lord, I just pray. Lord, speak to us. I pray as we get into worship this morning, let us lay this fear down before you to surrender it. Lord, help us to surrender to you. We're not going to surrender to fear, but we're going to surrender to you. Lord, help us to be amazed by who you are. Lord, help us to walk in strength and wisdom this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just enter into worship this morning.